Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Knock Airport celebrates its 40th anniversary. We want to hear from people who were involved in the opening of the airport, as well as the impact that it's had on the people of the west of Ireland. Joe Gilmore, who's the managing director at the airport, is with us here on the programme today. Joe, it's the classic case of build it and they'll come, isn't it?
Andrea, thanks for having us on, and yes, to all your listeners, Knock Airport, or Ireland West as we're currently known, it was one of those brainchilds of Monsignor James Horne back in the mid-1980s, after Pope John Paul II visited the shrine in 79. He had a vision to build an airport. People thought it was...
they thought he was mad, didn't they?
Mad, unattainable, probably, you know, but he and a great band of people around him, you know, achieved the impossible. You know, he did it against the odds. So, yeah, the first year, 9,000 passengers used the airport. And this year, we're close to 1 million passengers, serving six countries, 21 international destinations. So, yeah, it's been the miracle at Knock, the second miracle.
Yeah, it certainly has. I mean, I remember being there, Joe, over the years, you know, down for different, you know, news reports and reports for programmes here on News Talk. And, you know, it is fascinating to see how it has become the travel, I suppose, option for so many people who were commuting over and back, even from the 80s, right into the post-Celtic Tiger era to the UK for work. On a weekly basis, like it has become a, you know, a real weekly ritual of people's lives.
Yeah, I guess when the airport originally started back in the 80s, you well know yourself, it was a time of widespread economic stagnation here in the west of Ireland, and indeed mass immigration. You know, and I know my own times growing up here in the 70s and 80s, it took us almost 2 days to get to the London, for example, you know, because air travel was prohibitive cost-wise, and, you know, flying was out of the question. So it was a case of trains, boats, and you know, other means of slow transport. So opening up the airport opened up the whole west of Ireland to, you know, international access, particularly to the UK.
Absolutely.
Like last year, we've had over 17 million journeys taken back and over to the UK since the airport opened. And it was the advent of low-cost travel over the last two decades. And particularly Ryanair and Aer Lingus, who are two main customers here, that have opened up, you know, destinations right across Europe. So it's been transformational, Andrea.
Paddy Judge is with us as well. Joe, of course, I'm sure you know well. Paddy flew the was the first pilot to fly the first commercial flight into Knock Airport with Aer Lingus. Paddy, good to speak to you again. What are your memories of that day?
Hi, Andrea. Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me on. My memories of it, well, the day before that, Jack Baglan was the captain on the flight, and I was the first officer. Jack, unfortunately speaking, is no longer with us, but we were in the simulator just to have a quick look at how, in fact, we were going to make the approach, because there were very limited aids, only just one NDB, Oscar Kilo, there at the time. So, and equally speaking, then on the day, the morning itself, we had a fairly early start, I think around 7 o'clock or so, but, to get to the operations. But the weather forecast was not great. It was just about operational is the best way to describe it. And the wind was unusually from the eastern quarter. So that meant we had to land back to the east. In other words, the cloud bake procedure was done to the west. And then turn around. In other words, you come down over the airport, see if you pick up the beacon, then let down to your minima, and then turn back in again. And of course, Knock Airport, or Ireland West, as I should call it correctly, Joe, is now 600 feet above sea level. So that meant you're coming down to probably, we operated at that time on a Q&H, which is on altitude rather than, in fact, height over the ground. So we were coming down to about 400 feet above the ground level before we turned back in. And previous to that, I had gone down around the area myself to see if I could pick up some good landmarks, you know, because we knew it would be sort of my, to some extent, a visual approach. There were no lead-in lights at that time, and the airport had just got a provisional operational license for those three aircraft to land in October. And of course, it wasn't opened until the following May. But anyhow, we went along, and we had, needless to say, cameras in the cockpit, but Jack was flew it down, and I flew it out of Knock then to Ciampino afterwards. So then when we came went out, leant down, and then turned around, and then there was a white bungalow there, a small little cottage that we'd circled around, and I knew that we were lined up for the runway on that, and they came in, and there was the runway ahead of us, and what staggered me at the time, just after landing, was that thousands of people that were around the place and all the hills around the place, because it was, you know, you don't realise how major an event it is until, in fact, you see that sort of welcoming there. Mm. So then we came in, turned around, and taxied back in onto the ramp and let down the air stairs, and I went down and met Father Horn. I always knew him as Father Horn because he was a friend of my mum's and dad's. When he was setting up the dance hall in Turin, he went over to England to raise money. So raising money for an airport was an unusual
way, all right, to sort of launch a kind of a fundraising campaign to set up something like an airport in the west of Ireland. And I know that's something that Terry Riley, of course, who brought out the book On a Wing and a Prayer, has talked about before, because Terry, you'd be very familiar with the history of the airport. It was something, you know, remarkable to do, wasn't it, to kind of launch this at that time?
It was absolutely remarkable. As previous speakers have said there, you know, the west of Ireland was bereft of investment, and people were immigrating, and Horn always talked about connectivity. How would the people get back? How would the men who went over to England get back for the weekends to see their children and their families? They couldn't get by. It took them 2 days, as some of Joe said there, to get to Dublin and get to the place that had worked in England. And he wanted to do that, and he said he was going to do it. And I remember talking to Michael O'Leary sometime after this is all up and delivering. And Michael O'Leary, I said, what do you think of the Monsignor, Michael? And he said, if I had a chance of appointing a government minister, he's the man I'd put in the job. The toughest job going, because he'd get it done.
And
that's exactly the way he was.
I mean, it's you know, when you look at the figures, and Joe touched on that. Did you, Joe, last year was the busiest year in the airport's history, is that right?
That's right, Andrea. We were delighted to get the accolade of Ireland's fastest grown airport. Actually, we grew 14% last year, so we're close to 950,000, and we hope to touch on the 1 million passengers this year. So, look, there's been phenomenal support from all the region, from our local authority, from government, and all the various stakeholders that got behind the airport from day one, and people right across the region. You know, from Galway up to Donegal and across to the border counties and Midlands. We draw passengers from everywhere. Our challenges, I guess, looking into the future, is to be able to fund further growth and expansion, and hopefully attract more routes.
Is that what that development charge is for?
That's what we have to provide match funding. We thankfully get capital funding from government, and we have to match that. So we put that into the infrastructure side. We hope to offer a realistic alternative to the phenomenal success on the East Coast that Dublin Airport is providing there for the East.
Listeners wondering, why was the name of the airport changed?
How much time have you got, Andrea?
In summary,
It started out. I think the airport has had four or five different iterations going back the years. The current name was changed to Ireland West in 2007 as a result of some international research that was carried out to put a geographical identifier, to be honest with you, on the airport right across Europe as we expanded, and it was decided that was from a commercial perspective. But Monsignor is fondly remembered, and there's a statue of him on the way into the airport, and there's many memorabilia around the airport. So he's always close to our hearts.
Yeah, well, it is really a great success story, and has massively opened up the Western region. I've flown in and out of it many times down through the years. Not so much now, living in Dublin, but I know it means a lot to an awful lot of people at home in the West. Joe Gilmore, Paddy Judge, Terry Riley, listen, thanks a million to you all for joining us today on the 40th anniversary of Ireland West Airport Knock, or, well, known more locally still as Knock Airport. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.